Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Rob Fresher here with Amanda Doan. We have done a kind of a rehaul on our different sites. We've linked them together because we both had some things going on, and I wanted to have us have one sort of prime location. Amanda's been doing a lot of work for the good, for the cause, and she has, on her own, has 10,000-plus followers and subscribers in Facebook, and you can find all of the stuff that we've both been working on for years and years and years if you go to the name that we've kind of repackaged it under a name that Amanda has been using. And, of course, it's in Facebook, but you will find that as well through the URL, tinyurl.com/survivingeveryday with dashes. So it's tinyurl.com/surviving-every-day. And that's where you're going to primarily find Amanda. But you're all going to also going to find things like, you know what, I'll let you announce this, Amanda, with the 50-50. You go ahead and you go ahead and announce that, Amanda, when you're ready.
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. To celebrate 10K followers, we are going to do a 50-50 raffle. And the Facebook page also for what you just described, Rob, is called Mental Health Survivors. For anyone who would like to, for any new followers, Mental Health Survivors is the name of the page. We're going to do
awesome.
A 50-50 raffle to celebrate the 10K followers.
Nice. Good job, Amanda. And that's going to be, and probably, I guess, kind of sort of, starting over again. And I'll let Amanda talk about her part of this. But I have been very, very closely touched by mental health awareness, and suicide prevention, suicide survivors. And if you go to our site, the Surviving Everyday site, what you're going to find is you're going to find ways that we're going to try to raise some money. And what we really need to do is become a legal entity in the eyes of the IRS. And the way that you do that is basically you come up with about $2,000. If you can do it, it sounds easier than it is, to be honest with you. Amanda knows it. But the way you do that is you come up with a fee. You have to do a buku amount of paperwork, and you do it through the IRS, and you become what's called an official nonprofit. Or we've been attempting this for quite some time, and we just, I guess, I don't know, you know, time goes by. And we just need to raise a couple $1,000s to get this nonprofit. We're going to try to do it $1 at a time. It's as cheap as any app you can buy on your phone. And currently right now we have a link to a page that talks about it, but not a way to actually get the money. So it is really, truly a work in progress. Amanda's site with the 10K plus followers, it's just an amazing accomplishment, Amanda. And you know what? God is good, isn't he?
Amen to that, Rob. God is good all the time.
Yeah.
And I am coming back, I am coming back to him.
There you go. And me as well, thank you for saying that. And I think that if you look at any kind of survivorship, any kind of, any kind of club where it's about the human spirit and overcoming adversarial, overcoming the adversary, and really kind of they all have that core component, which is like, you know what, there is a higher entity, there is something beyond what we can imagine, and I believe that is the spark in our brains that makes us self-aware and human, and also, unfortunately, also the part of us that is I hesitate to call it evil, but it kind of is a kind of an evil that resides in our brain that we fight constantly. What do you think about that, Amanda?
Yes, I totally agree with that. I will just tell you, lately my mental health has been a little bit over severe, but I am I'm definitely coming back to God and Jesus, and we've really come a long way with this, with the nonprofit and how it's coming. And I just want to say also, for any people that are listening out there, you know, keep fighting. It's hard to do. Trust me.
Yep.
It's very hard to do.
Right.
But especially if you feel like you've got nobody listening, but there's somebody always out there. There's a shoulder to cry on somewhere. And my boyfriend, honestly, who has chosen not to be on the show at this moment, and
that's
we
fine.
Will get into this another.
Maybe we'll. Sure.
We
absolutely.
Will get.
Of course,
yeah,
we will.
We will get into it
absolutely.
Another time. But he's given me permission to discuss his story and and his undiagnosed mental health.
Well, that's great. That's a good. You know what I'll say for him. Good. God bless him. That's a great first start. It's just to allow the story to be told is very. You know, that's a huge step. Nobody knows how big of a step that really is. And so God bless him and good for him. And we'll absolutely share his story. I know our show was pretty popular when we had your mom on. And forgive me, please, what was your mom's name again?
My mother's name is Cindy.
Cindy, right. And it was called, I believe we called it it was a story about you. So if people search your name and the name Cindy, they're going to find that show that we did. And, you know, I can't even, not to look like I'm advertising, but really, truly, things like the internet and things like Blog Talk Radio have empowered people. You know, I know there's a lot of bad that's done on the internet. Trust me, we don't live in a nutshell. You know, there's bad stuff that happens on the internet, but also there's people, and not to toot our own horns, but there's people like me and Amanda who have had these, you know, it's kind of support group Y2K, if you will. Y2K is an old phrase, but remember, I'm an old guy. So I remember when Y2K was a story that was going to happen in the year 2000, and people panicked and went crazy. And just quite frankly, they didn't know what to do with their lives at that time. But I think that as we go through life, we do meet people who are not good people, people who have mental health issues, who actually want to be good people, but they act out in ways in public and things. And you know where I work, Amanda, so I see the public, you know, all day long. It can be a really bad thing, you know.
Yes, I was looking recently back on the shows that we did with my mother, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was on the site and just recently, and I was looking back at the show. I believe it was the Suicide Notes show we did with my mama.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's right. You're right about
and
that.
And I also have noticed that you did a show, too, on Americans with Disabilities, Rob. I am so proud of you for the work you're doing.
Thank you so much. You know, if you don't mind, I'll tell a quick story, which, of course, everyone knows is a lie. My stories are not quick ever. But here's what happened. In a nutshell, my uncle, right? My uncle.
Yes.
Uncle Gerard Plant from Utica, New York. He was quite a popular guy. He was, since the age, I believe, of 15, going on 16, was disabled. He was a quadriplegic. He followed, sadly, he was one of these kind of rough and tough young guys who was a football player, and he thought he would pull off a stunt from an old in my day, man, I don't know if you know this, but in the old days, when the T-Rex was the king of the jungle, we had that guy called Evel Knievel, and and we all had the little motorcycles, the heady looking evil, all of the merchandising and stuff like that. So he decided he was going to pull a stunt like that and ride kind of what sounds like a pretty simple task. He was going to ride a bicycle down off from a vehicle. In my memory, it was a VW bug because it was round and it kind of hit the ground fast, but I don't know if that's right, and I apologize in advance to my family if I have that wrong. But my uncle passed recently. He was 63, and all the doctors will tell, if you're a quadriplegic, they will tell you and your family do not expect him to live into his late 40s. So it was a miracle that he survived as long as he did, and he also became a very he got his journalist degree from Utica College in Utica, New York. It's in upstate New York. It's between Syracuse and Albany, for those of you who don't know. Journalism degree. And the funny thing was, my sister told a story for his eulogy, which was that she also followed in his footsteps, and my sister got her journalist degree. And the funny thing was, she was in a class. I don't remember the name of the class, but she was talking to the professor, and the professor told us, I'm going to start tearing up here, man. So I might have to have you take over. So she was in a class in the journalistic school, same program my uncle was in many years earlier. And the professor told this great story about this inspirational guy who was so happy to be in school, earning his degree. And my sister was like, geez, she goes, are you talking about Gerard Plant from Utica, New York? He goes, I am. He said, do you know Gerard? She goes, oh, my God, he's my mom's brother. He's my uncle. And it was amazing that even in a little way, he touched people. Now, his whole thing was when he was newly injured, you can't imagine. I mean, you and I kind of can't imagine, but being a quadriplegic, one of the first things he thought to himself is thoughts of suicide. But he couldn't do it himself, and nobody in the family would, of course, help him. And he did live to be the ripe old age of 63, as a quadriplegic was a miracle in itself. So he passed recently, and I just wanted to tell everybody that, you know what? He was right. And we joked about this with him in a kind of a weird way, because it's like when you have someone that's injured like that, you have to face it and talk about it. And we did that with him, and we were really probably his only support group. And he ended up on the computer. He would type with this thing called a mouse stick, which was one letter at a time. And his head's bobbing up and down trying to type with the mouse stick. And he was just amazing how he overcame something that would literally kill most people and put them in an early grave. But my family and his mom, my Grandma Winnie, God rest her soul, was just fastidious about his care. And so he died recently, and I said, you know what, he wasn't disabled. You say disabled like took away something from you, and it's true that his movement and a lot of stuff was taken from him, but he ended up with his degree in journalism. He was writing for a Boston newspaper. I believe it was the Boston Herald. Anyone wants to Google Gerard Plant, Boston Herald, you can look him up. And but thank you for mentioning that, Amanda, because honestly, I had left that off the speaking topics today. So thank you so much for that. And it's true, you're not disabled, you're otherwise abled. Okay, so think about that, everybody. Even with the disabilities that we have, and I haven't talked to you and Amanda in a little while on the side, but on Facebook, but I'm a survivor of. So I've had so many physical things go wrong. I'm a stroke survivor now. I had a stroke a little while ago when I went to my new job. And they found me wandering the streets of Rochester, not knowing where I was. And thank God they have a pretty good plan for this kind of thing. So it worked out okay. I'm currently, since the stroke, surviving tinnitus, tinnitus they also call it. And from what I'm told, that is a suicide. They have groups to help you when you have tinnitus. Is when your ears are chronically. Your brain is chronically producing a noise that nobody else can can hear. It's the brain part of your hearing that just malfunctions. It's a very specific frequency, and they try to use these noise devices to try to suppress that. I have ankylosing spondylitis, which they took an MRI a few weeks ago. I'm going to need to have a titanium mesh put in my neck to support it because it's crushing my nerves in my neck. And so another risk for suicide. And also just being in chronic pain your whole life is also another risk factor for suicide. And I have all these things, and we also have really nice resources to some really great Facebook places to support all these different kinds of things. I'll let you go for a minute now, Amanda, while I recoup here.
Yes, I am so sorry for your loss, Rob. And otherwise able, that is a great saying. And I've also heard something myself. I've heard a saying, impossible is spelled even I am possible.
Wow, that's great. That is fantastic.
I actually watched it on a video once, quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
they
know
also
what? We should
do...
put that in our resource links. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, they, the motivational speaker, I'm not sure if you've heard of him. His name is, and I'll say it for all the listeners out there, his name is Darman. A lot of people follow him and watch him. And he does mental health videos as well. I've seen quite a few mental health videos, people being bullied, you know, other people sticking up, saying never, you know, judge a book by its cover. He gives basically life lessons that we should have all learned.
Wow, that's pretty heavy stuff. It's called, can you say his name real slowly and then spell it to the best of your ability? I know maybe you don't know how to spell it, but let's put that link in our resources link as well. What was the name of the gentleman?
Dar, D-H-A-R. Man, M-A-N-N.
Oh, okay.
And you will see.
Yeah, it sounded like one word, Darman. Yeah.
No, Darman. Yes, you will see quite a few videos from him. Yeah.
It's about surviving. And he's the one that coined the sort of the phrase, I am possible?
One of his videos.
Or is that two different things?
Yeah.
That is one of his. Okay. Oh, wow,
yeah.
That's awesome. I'm going to find that link and add him in right now, everybody. If you want to come back in 20 minutes, it'll be there. Good job, Amanda. Thanks for that.
Of course.
So it's all about networking, honestly. And it's networking and it's feeling like you're never alone. Because alone, to me, is bad. Because when you're alone is when you come up with all these reasons to, and not that you're doing it on purpose, obviously, but alone time, or to me, what is the saying, Amanda, the idle hands are the devil's workplace. It's true. It's very true. And coping mechanisms are just really a thing to try to keep your brain focused on positive stuff. And it is truly the hardest feat we have to achieve.
Yes, it is. It really is, because actually last year I was back in the hospital for an OD. So my mental health has gone from being okay to severe, and it can happen in the flash of a second. Anyone's mental health, they can do it in the flash of a second. And the fact that I'm, you know, still constantly being bullied and harassed, doing everything I can to try to stop it. I mean, I found someone's voice message from a few weeks ago, I believe, or maybe it was sometime last month. somebody had told me to go do something, and I'm not going to say the full voice message, but somebody had told me to go do something to myself and send a video.
Yeah.
Jesus. And after that, I ended up in one of the hospitals for a OD on my psychiatric medication.
Boy.
I mean, it is, yeah, I had to wear a heart monitor and everything, and it was just, I don't understand why these relapses keep happening, but I'm trying to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and it's really, I guess, goes to the crux of the problem is that for some reason at one point in time, and it could only be a few seconds of your brainwaves. By the way, we have tinyurl.com/mybrainwaves. It can take a split second for your brainwaves to go the wrong direction and take something somebody told you. And this is where the evil part of social media comes in, is that there's a lot of bad people out there who will be just as happy if you hurt yourself. And I tell people, like, what you need to think about is, this person wants me to do this bad thing to myself. Guess what? Your brain went to the defeatist part and said, well, we're just going to do that then. And guess what? If you had had, you know, somebody else kind of in your brain at that moment in time, they probably could have talked you back out of this bad activity, and it was really literally could have been just a little simple note on this show or something where you were maybe listening to your own self talk about helping other people that is cathartic and helpful for you. And then maybe having avoided all this. And this is difficult for people without mental health issues to really understand. And they're just, and I've heard this so many times, spoken to my family members, and quite frankly, before I started researching all this many, many years ago, Mandy, you remember when this would have been, it would have been probably nine-ish years ago, because you know the whole story about my family situations. And honestly, it would have been at that point in time when, you know, all it takes is one bad apple. And they say this about everything, every situation, every group, the cops, the police officers, God bless them. It only takes one bad apple to ruin the whole, you know, the whole deal. And so it really only takes one person to say something to you. And your brain is like, your brain, for some reason, accepted what they said about you. And then the next thing you know, you're in the hospital. But it's really difficult for anybody without an issue or without a close family member, you know, with mental health issues to just say, well, just don't do that. But that's not helpful advice. Just don't do that. Just say no. God bless her soul, Nancy Reagan, just say no. Okay, yeah, well, that's really easy to say if you don't have mental health issues, right?
Yes, I totally get that. And you mentioned about being also alone time. Well, let me just explain how being and what being alone really, really is. When someone is sitting in the hospital and all they have is their mother that show up, nobody else, and numerous people knew that I was in there, you're basically alone when all you have is your mother to show up and your own family member tells you that you faked what you did and nobody feels
remorse.
That is what I went through this past year, the dates. And they also, this hospital also released me within 13 days. I've told you about this story, Rob. They released me. They said that I was on a psychiatric hold. They were looking for a bed, and then they turned around and said, I didn't need to go to the psychiatric unit now. And I was back into the environment where I'm originally from. So,
that's
the hospital, one of the hospitals, basically had said, there was one doctor, one good doctor there that had kept me for quite some time, and then I was moved up to certain units and moved down, but then I was released.
And
they
tragically,
go ahead. They had said I was released, that I didn't need the psychiatric unit, and, well, here I am.
Well, so, and that's another thing that I found having dealing with this with multiple people is that the tragically and unfortunately the mental health care industry is also mostly clueless about what happens inside your brain. And if you live in a more like urban areas outside of major cities, and of course, I mean, you see the good and the bad of the whole thing. I see in my job, I see some of the worst case scenarios of mental health come walking by me on a daily basis. And they're alone. They're alone in their own brains. If we have to do more, we have to do more. We're just not doing enough. And as everybody knows, listen to the show, by the way, Amanda, that was a fast 30 minutes. We're down to 3.5 minutes. So I'm going to try to sum this up and then let you talk for a few minutes. We got 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So we're going to do this again. We are on the premium plan now with Block Talk Radio. So we can actually spark this conversation back up after we take a break and we have a 10 or 15 minute break. We can go right back where we're leaving off right now. But sadly, if you live in a kind of a more of an urban area, the mental health care is not good. And God bless everyone who's in the industry, but you're not doing it. It's not working. And so so my family, we had to make a lot of decisions. One of those was to send one of our family members without necessarily their approval, but they were tentative about it. But we had to send them to a place, it was in state New York area, let's just say, where, and I'm careful sometimes about what I say because the person that we used to have as an integral part of what we're doing, Amanda, has I'm not going to say moved on, but she or he has solid control over this and has a significant other and doesn't necessarily want to dwell on this, I guess is the word to say. But that's great, and that's a success. Yeah, and that's a success that that is a wonderful thing. But the long story short is that we had to find a place outside of where we live in order to deal head on with this. And it's sad. It's not, and I don't blame anybody because it really we don't understand the human brain yet. And as we grow and learn, we will understand the human brain. And Amanda, I'm going to give you the last minute and a half here, and you say your piece and. We'll talk after and maybe spark this conversation up again.
I just want to tell everybody out there listening that, like I said before, it's very hard to deal with. Mental health is very hard to deal with, especially when it's undiagnosed. I mean, I can only imagine what my mom had to go through and what my man goes through as well. You know, because at one point I was undiagnosed, and my man deals with undiagnosed, depression every day. You know, he fights battles in his head that he tells nobody about. We all do, especially when it comes to, us and the fact that we're trying to stop this stigma that has circulated around mental health and mental illness depression and anxiety, everything in general, especially PTSD. Yep. These are not easy battles.
PTSD is a big one.
So,
yep. Yeah, we're down to 20 seconds. Let's pick this up with PTSD. That's a great lead into the next show. And we're going to be doing these more regularly. We do have the premium account. Please visit all of our sites, which are all grouped together at tinyurl.com/survivingeveryday, right, Amanda? We got it. And my brain.
We've also got tinyurl.com facebook.com/mybrainwave.
Beautiful. And everybody visit that. And this is about knowledge. Knowledge is power. We need to get the knowledge out there for everybody who has this issue, and also people who are coping with it who don't have the issue as well. Like you said, your significant other is currently undiagnosed, and but that's, you know, I mean, it's just nobody's just found it yet. But God bless him and all of us, and we're gonna spark up another show very soon. We're not gonna wait every week to do this. We're gonna do this regularly, and we recommend that everybody, if you don't have the extra buck, you don't have to do it. That's okay. Just come on the show with us, call in, talk to us about your issues. Is it diagnosed? Is it not? And we'll go from there. Time's up. We're done. And everybody, please come back as soon as possible. This is Rob Thrasher, and I'm here with Amanda Doan. And this is our show. Get used to it. Thank
Spotlight
you, Amanda.
Spotlight on mental health. You're welcome.
God bless. All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.